You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
The reigning Democrat in the Trump administration, the Secretary of Defense, probably said the smartest thing I've heard so far relative to the whole Turkey-Saudi Arabia event going on. He was at some point yesterday. He was stopped by reporters, and he was asked, what he thought about the events unfolding between Turkey and Saudi Arabia. Now, here's what a grown-up says. Now, mind you, the president's a political guy, okay? Now, I don't know if as a political guy you're allowed to be a grown-up or you have to, you know, you have to carry the water of your allies, all right? At least in your initial responses. You can evolve your answer from there. Excuse me. By the way, good morning. Here's what he said. Quote, "I need to have the facts first. I know it's unusual at times in government circles. Some talk quickly. I think the Secretary of State will be airborne shortly, and we will know more when he gets back. and that'll be very, very soon. So I want to wait until I have the facts before I start talking, because facts will determine where I stand. Mattis went on to say that Pompeo, the most senior cabinet official in the United States, was going to the region as a result of that gave you some idea as to the level of priority the president places on the facts. Yeah, how about that for a loyal cabinet member? First, let me get the facts before I say anything. Until then, the jury is out. So until then, it is the fare of our news cycle. So good luck with that. Good morning to you on a Tuesday morning. Mike McNamara with you. I'm not sure what we're doing on the show today. Yeah, just blew up about 20 minutes ago. So my guest, I'm not sure that my guest wrote it down. So anyway, I won't go on. We're in uncharted waters this morning. That's right. So normally something interesting happens, so I'll leave it at that. Yesterday I got into this discussion. Hold on, let me just go over something else that the Secretary of Defense said yesterday. He's better at playing the political game than most give him credit for, right? He knows when to not say anything. Anyway, he was asked yesterday about, where he is. Quote, "Where am I today? I'm a member of the president's administration. And you've seen Mr. Trump's military policies, security policies, reaping significant bipartisan support. When you think 83% of the U.S. Congress voting the same way on an issue put forward by a Republican president, you can see that my portfolio is bipartisan by its very basis and that it is the protection of the United States." Secretary of Defense said he spoke to the president about his comments on 60 Minutes, although he didn't watch the interview. "We continue in the Department of Defense to do our job," he said. "It's no problem." There's another exchange he had with reporters in which he's traveling to Vietnam, right? He's going to go to Vietnam and Singapore. And along those flights, they do a thing called a gaggle, where they just kind of sit. Sometimes you'll see video of them posted. And in this case, it's the somebody relaying the conversation. Question, "Mr. Secretary, are you a Democrat?" Mattis, "Pardon?" "Question, are you a Democrat?" Mattis, "We're all built on our formative experiences. When I was 18, I joined the Marine Corps, and in the U.S. military, we are proudly apolitical. By that, I mean that in our duties, we're brought up to obey the elected commander-in-chief, whoever that is. And we've seen, over those, since I was in the military longer than some of you have been alive, I have seen Democrats and Republicans come and go. Where am I today? I'm a member of the president's administration, and you have seen the president's military priorities." And he went on to kind of detail what I just said. Mattis continues, right? "When you think that 83% of the Congress voting the same way on an issue, my portfolio is bipartisan to protect the United States. That's what the president has told me to do, and I eagerly carry it out alongside probably the most selfless young men and women. Not all young, some old men and women too, civilian and military. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines working together. So that's where I stand. That defines me." Question, "Don't you want to put too fine a point on it? But You haven't registered Republican or Democrat. Is that what I'm hearing you say? Mattis, I've never registered for any political party. He went on to say he does not have any indications that his job is in jeopardy. We, he and the president, have never talked about me leaving, and as you can see right here, we're on our way. We just continue doing our job. So that was filed by a reporter from Military Times by the name of Tara Kopp, who is the Pentagon Bureau Chief for Military Times. So that from a quote-unquote gaggle aboard DOD-1, whatever the hell that is. Does he have a plane? I don't even know. I would imagine he does. He travels all over the place. I would imagine they have the Secretary of State probably has one, right? DOS-1. Air Force One. Air Force One is different. POTUS, they don't call it POTUS-1. Maybe they call it Air Force 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Interesting. The nomenclature. Speaking of interesting, so there you have it, the Secretary of Defense saying that, no, we haven't discussed my replacement. I have no intention on leaving. Blah, 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 blah. So there it goes. All right. just interesting stuff from the Secretary of Defense, who tends to be plain spoken. In these matters, when in doubt, default to simplicity. No. But sir, no. Do you want to? How many different ways can I say no to you? No. So anyway, I got interested in time zones yesterday. Yeah. I got interested in time zones yesterday. Who invented time zones? Where did they come from? Why did they occur? So this is a little trivia, I know. There's all kinds of pressing issues in the world, believe me. We have time this morning to discuss all of them. so, why would we need time zones? Good question. Did it matter what happened in Rome when I'm in London and it takes 6 days, 8 days, 14 days to get there? Answer, no. So however we set time in Rome matters only to us. However, once you get linked, then it does matter. Before clocks were invented, people kept time using different instruments to observe the sun's meridian passing at noon. Right? Sundials, water clocks, right? They generally kept time. Okay? Pendulum clock became the most accurate way of keeping time. Developed in the 17th century. That would be the 1600s. Problem. They can't be used at sea. Okay, now you can determine latitude with celestial navigation, but you couldn't accurately determine longitude. So we needed a extremely accurate device that could tell time. They could go to sea. The other thing that forces time zones is, as I said, when it takes days to get someplace, it doesn't really matter what the local time is, right? When we're going by horse, wagon, but the advent of the train. That's right. If we lay down track from Paris to Berlin, then, and we're going to create a schedule, then time just got important. So what happened was, in And you have this taking place as trains become more prevalent, right? So Britain was the first to adopt time zones, and they adopted them for Scotland, England, and Wales. So then as the locomotive spread throughout Europe, other people used the model that England had created. Kind of interesting, isn't it? The International Meridian Conference in Washington, D.C. adopted a proposal in October of 1884. Interesting that it would be in the United States, right? On the edge of the frontier. The proposal stated that the prime meridian for longitude and timekeeping should be one that passes through the center of the transit instrument at the Greenwich Observatory in the United Kingdom. The conference established Greenwich Meridian as the prime meridian and Greenwich Mean Time, GMT, or Zulu Time, as the world standard. Now, that's not till 1884, though. The international 24-hour time zone system grew for this, in which all time zones referred back to Greenwich Mean Time. Right? So, Greenwich Mean Time, also known as Zulu Time. The main factors that favored Greenwich as the site were, one, Britain had more shipping and ships using Greenwich Meridian than the rest of the world put together at that time. The British Nautical Almanac started these charts in 1767. And the Greenwich Observatory produced data of the highest quality for a long time. They also had the most accurate clock. And so Greenwich, the observatory, actually had a ball that they had like in the 18th century. So the 1700s, they had a ball. I know, this is nuanced, okay? I know. But I thought it was interesting. How does the world tell time? How did it get this way? So it talked about all the shipping that came out of England. Well, ships would pull into the harbor where the Greenwich and harbor was, and they would look at the ball, and they would set their watches when the ball fell at 1300 every day. Kind of like New Year's Eve. Yeah, this, and they synchronize clocks to that. So there you have it. Greenwich was the place that sophisticated time measurement came from. And then they went through all these different devices trying to get, because what is the problem? The problem at sea, you don't have standard gravity. So the pendulum clock doesn't work. The most accurate way of keeping time. So they had to find different. And it led to the construction of the watch, trying to find a way to keep exact time. Very important in navigation at sea. So there you have it. So, good morning to you. On that note, we'll check the news of the day. But there's just a little something for you today. Yeah, I know it's off the beaten path a little bit, but got interested in it yesterday, did a little reading yesterday afternoon, thought I would share that with you this morning. So, the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning to you. dedicated to, I was watching some video last night of all the people in Florida that are still digging out. That endeavor is going to be a long, long time. You know, again, those things are about 10-year recoveries, if you can believe it. And, you know, the Mother Nature teaches us lessons. If you look at some of the structures that survive, what are they made of? Yeah, somebody years ago got them off the beach, put them a little bit inland, and they made them of what? Brick, stone. That's how they survived. And our penchant for, if you look at the construction, you know, lightweight construction near the coast, so it's affordable, and then we can charge a lot of money and make a lot of money. To me, there ought to be a code that that you have to observe in terms of building near the water, and it's not flimsy construction that doesn't work in weather. Now, I know everybody's going to say, "Oh, this is Category 5. We've never seen this." Blah 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 blah. Okay, everything's gone though. Everything is gone. None of your construction held up to any of that. So is that an issue? And if you come back to me and say, well, no, it's really not an issue. This is such an anomaly. Okay. But when everything goes away, I think you got an issue there. And if you look at the older homes that survived, you'll see they have something in common. They've got a little bit of ass to them. So, these people lie. You know, I was watching a story about a guy who lost his restaurant and he's not covered for it. The only thing he can do is take out loans. So what does FEMA do? Red Cross will give you money. So what goes on in a disaster is the Red Cross shows up immediately and they actually give people cash. That's why the Red Cross is such a, you know, it's such a godsend. And then with everybody else, you start filling out forms. You know, FEMA comes, well, what does FEMA do? FEMA gives you low interest loans. Yep. And then ultimately, those loans get sold off to other people, other financial organizations that then own them. You get a letter in the mail, we purchased your loan. And then what happens is when you try to subordinate your loan, you say, well, when we bought it, and you have to understand that we now hold a secondary. So, you know, now when a lender goes, when you want to go, say, take out another loan to do something else, you have to agree to subordinate your note to that. Well, they say, no, we won't do that. You need to pay it. What? So there's all kinds of ugly surprises inside of disasters. Anyway, yeah, you see the story where, so he's got one choice. Either he can shut it down or he can assume all that extra debt. And if he financially can't assume the extra debt and make it go, then he eats it and he leaves and he packs his stuff up, files for bankruptcy and leaves. Yeah. That's why that whole flood insurance, all those insurances, you really need to pay attention to, because some of them are not covered. And I know the average premium Federal flood insurance average premium to rise 8%, a typical premium charged by the National Flood Insurance Program, is slated to rise about 8% in the coming year, with the estimated average premium going from $866 to $935. So you're talking about, I should be able to do that in my head, but I'm not. 935 divided by 12 equals how much a month? $77 a month added to your mortgage. Whoa, Whitney, take it easy. So, yeah, $77 a month. Now, people will look at that and say, $935, that's almost $1,000 a year for what are the odds? And you start playing that game. If you're located near a river, my opinion, and flooding can be caused by a number of things. The city that I lived in, there was a fire that started downtown while it was flooding. The outlying areas of the city, or not, I won't say outlying, but it's not a big city. It's a rectangle, essentially. The downtown part along the river was in the northeast corner, in the upper right-hand corner of the rectangle. Okay? The river ran down the right side of the rectangle. What happened was water was coming through the storm sewers that drained into the river. They did not have caps on those pipes as they do now. Okay? The caps on those pipes prevent water from coming back in. They allow water to go out, but nothing to come in. Okay? They did not have those. So there was hydrostatic pressure coming through the storm drains. When the fire hit downtown, in order to save downtown, they cut the power to the city. When they cut the power to the city, everybody's sump pump in the city that was pumping water, hydrostatic water, right? They was pumping water from out of everybody's foundations, clicked off. And that water came through drains, in basements, and then began to fill up houses. That is flood water. And that damage was not covered with flood insurance. Or was not covered by homeowner's insurance. It was covered by flood insurance. Okay, so again, there's a number of different ways, and overland flooding is flooding. Okay, so water somehow or other backs up and comes into your house and whatnot, flooding. And so there was all kinds of different lawsuits, you know, defining what flooding is. So if you're in any one of those areas, I know that, you know, a lot of people play that game. They'll look at the flood forecast and they'll decide whether they'll renew their flood insurance. Yep. Or some people won't. They'll make a decision in the spring whether to buy flood insurance for the year. So if the snowfall hasn't been substantial, blah, 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 they won't buy it. I would tell you that I think that just for the sake of peace of mind, $77 a month is the annual premium, average, probably not a bad deal. Same thing about riders and policies relative to tornadoes, because you lose so much, and especially if you're elderly. I think it ought to be, I mean, if you have your mom or dad still living in a flood zone or a disaster zone, they can't assume any extra debt. So $77 a month is a hell of a lot cheaper than the marginal cost of their new home, should they have to move. So anyway, this is dedicated to all those people that are starting on a 10-year recovery of that area. So God bless them and good luck to them.
Oh. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech.
Hey, we don't like our Democrats joking like that.
But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting that under his leadership, all of a sudden we get Democrats supporting defense. What is that about? Does that have anything to do with him, the way they've gone about their business? Interesting. He does the right thing. And I think that all you have to do is see the way we're positioned around the world. You know, now look at the way that things have been concluded in Iraq, Syria. Not a lot of loss of American life, and things have, you know, were brought to an ending there pretty quickly. That's him. That's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So I'm not sure my own opinion is. President doesn't like it when he gets pushback politically. And so when you don't pick up his water and run with it, and again, I go back to the transgender issue, and it's a pretty public issue. The president, he notes that. He notes that. Now, ultimately, the Secretary of Defense did the right thing, but I think once you kind of go down that road, then the president doesn't like that. He wants, and that's his whole thing about loyalty. I need you to be loyal to me. Well, guys like Jim Mattis, right, they have their own body of work. I'm not going to go down the trail you're going to drag me down with that. And if you don't like that, then I shouldn't be here. So that's just my own personal opinion. So, anywho.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man. But I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Checking the weather here on a cold Tuesday morning in Southern California. Sunny and 56 degrees in Quantico, so it's cooled off there. Clouds in 81 at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. Raining in Granbury, Texas, and 44 degrees, so it's cool there. Big Timber, Montana, cloudy and 44 degrees. 29 Palms, sunny and 52. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 44. Exactly. Montana, Southern California, Pendleton, and Granbury, Texas, all reporting the same air temperature. Never happened before. What does that mean? Nothing. All right. Dark, cloudy, and 76 in Okinawa. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 71 early in the evening. In Costa Mesa, California, Newport Beach area, two weather warnings and sun and 54 degrees right now, on our way to a high of 81. That's a long way to go, man. Winds are currently out of north at 3 miles an hour. Winds yesterday gusting up to 40, 45 miles an hour. So we've got a little bit of a Santa Ana going. Red flag warning. What the hell is that? All right, here's what a red flag warning is. Red flag warning remains in effect until 8 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time this evening for strong gusty winds and low humidity. That means dry. Locations, mountains and foothills below 6,000 feet, the valleys, and most of Orange County. Winds, areas of northeast winds, 20 to 30 miles an hour this morning, with gusts up to 45, diminishing during the afternoon, with isolated gusts up to 55 miles an hour this morning. Humidity will fall to around 10%. It's pretty dry, so dry and windy means fires in California. So, got that going for us. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines here. Tim Lynch going to join us at the top of the hour as an emergency fill-in. So, I love that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Tuesday edition on the 16th day of October, 2018. So, don't touch that dial. News headlines next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team.
Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of
winning,
letting go of all hope and soap in the air of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah, I'll let it all out. But right now.
Seven 46 on a Tuesday. Headlines, Marine Corps type. Dale Alford, who I just saw and at Camp Lejeune in August, is leaving, being commanding general of the base there. And he's headed to relieve current Task Force Southwest Commander Ben Watson, Brigadier General type. So Ben Watson, an awesome guy. I've never served with Dale Alford. I have friends who have, and they think the world of him. Great guy. So, but I can tell you, Ben Watson is, he was one of the Barb Battalion commanders in 2010-11 in Helmand. Awesome guy. Great Marine. Great war fighter, and then does everything else as well, too. So he's a grown-up. Yeah, he's one of those guys I talk about when you're in a room. That all of a sudden you're like, who is that guy? Because he's a grown-up. So, anyway, all the best of luck to him in Task Force Southwest. Another headline. Trump support for Trump is fading among active duty troops, according to a new poll. Military Times poll of active duty service members, about 44% of troops had a favorable view of Trump's presidency, the poll showed, compared to 43% who disapproved. The results of the survey conducted over the course of September and October suggest a gradual decline in troop support of Trump since he was elected in the fall of 2016, when a Military Times poll showed that 46% of troops approved of Trump, compared to 37% who disapproved. So I would tell you the approval number at 44% should be within the plus or minus ratio of the poll, so that is insignificant in terms of who supports him. In terms of who disapproves of him, the movement from 37 to 43 is outside the probability of error of the poll, and that would suggest a increase. The polls numbers, and when you throw 2017 in there, suggest an intermediate drop. So anyway, it's gone from 46 to 44.4 to 43.8. So the statistical trend consistent over 2 years, in that it's headed downward. And in terms of overall disapproval, heading up as a consistent trend. So, up substantially. So, there you have it. Now, I think another interesting question that you would ask about that's just him, right? Is there anybody else out there who you think has better ideas relative to the DOD? Be interesting to hear what they said about that. World War II Marine Wildcat pilot remains were buried in Michigan. Story from the Associated Press, a picture of Marine Corps Second Lieutenant Elwood R. Bailey, 22, of Parma, Michigan, was killed when his plane went down in the Solomon Islands. He was flying an F-4 Wildcat when he was reported missing in action after being shot down, according to the defense POW MIA. In 1948, his remains were declared non-recoverable. But in 2015, a resident of the Solomon Islands turned over human remains and other evidence, and analysis confirmed Bailey's identity. He was 22 years old when he died. According to the Defense Department, Bailey's name is recorded on the walls of the missing at the Manila American Cemetery, at the American Battle Monuments Commission site, along with other MIAs from World War II. A rosette will be placed next to his name to indicate he has been accounted for. So again, we see this now almost on a weekly basis, and you have a lot of amateurs that are exploring the files and looking at the forensic evidence, and whether they go on vacation in those places and look and talk to people. But you're seeing more and more people get involved in this. Kind of very interesting in terms of the identification of heretofore remains that are listing as unidentifiable. So, Marine Second Lieutenant, killed in aviator type, killed during the Solomon Island campaign. So good for his family. Most F-35s have returned to operations after their fuel tube problems. Quote, the F-35 program office continues to work closely with the military services to prioritize fuel tube replacements using the current spares inventory. Pratt and Whitley is rapidly procuring more parts to minimize the overall repair timeline for the remaining jets. So those deployed would get the first part, right? Those preparing to deploy in active squadrons would get the next set, training squadrons the next, and then everybody else. So they have it. So the F-35. And again, that's pretty standard on any. That's the way that happens. Email. Mac, will you go over the flood insurance premium one more time? I tuned in late. Now, I just made a comment, having had a little bit of experience as a city councilman. In the area of flood. So you see these stories now that are coming out of Florida, and I own a restaurant. I didn't buy flood insurance, and, you know, my restaurant's destroyed, and I'm declaring bankruptcy, and I'm going to go live someplace. I got to go get a job, and my life's been wiped out. All for the want of insurance. And again, it's $1,000 a year, approximately. So the average premium across the country rose 8% last year to $935. Okay. So, again, you can do that, say, over the course of, you know, of 30 years. That's $30,000 that you don't have. But if you need it, right? That turns into $250,000 that you get from an insurance company to replace what you have. So, again, the whole concept of insurance, especially in places of the country that get hit by it. So, I would heartily recommend it to you. And I know people say, that's a lot of money every year, and I get it, but just awful to watch people now that don't have anywhere to go. And again, it when it strikes the elderly, and I know they live on tight budgets, but they can assume more debt now on a fixed income, and their home is wiped out. So where do they go? What do? They go live with somebody. They go find a place to rent because they can't rebuild. So it's horrible stuff. Top five stories in the early bird today. One, who would replace Mattis? Who do they say? Senator Tom Cotton, the 41-year-old Arkansas Republican who chairs the Senate Armed Services Committee, subcommittee on air land, was on Trump's shortlist back in 2016. Right? He's a two-time combat veteran, won a seat in the House of Representatives in 2012 as part of the Tea Party movement, well known for his hawkish views. He is on record supporting waterboarding and regime change in Iran. Among the downsides of Cotton's appointment, the Republican Party would have to give up an important chairmanship. The president also gave an eye to Dan McCormick, West Point grad, combat veteran, and CEO of global macro investment firm Bridgewater Associates. One other possible contender is retired four-star Army General Jack Keane, who was reportedly in line in front of Mattis but declined due to family issues. Senator Lindsey Graham, we all know Lindsey Graham. Dan Coats, former Director of National Intelligence, also would be a candidate. But, you know, again, much ado about nothing. I think the president, when you don't dance to his tune, he likes to poke you every once in a while. And so, so there you have it. The story came up yesterday. Harrison L3 CEOs talk merger, divestitures, and why we all should have seen this coming. If you ask Chris Kubasik, CEO of L3 Technology, the company's pending merger with Harris Corporation should not come as a surprise to anyone. Such a move made sense on paper for years, even if the timing was never quite right. Now it is. Both companies are on the upswing. Both companies are led by individuals with an inclination to get things done. The result will be a deal. The largest defense merger in history, if you look at market capitalization, to create the seventh largest defense business in the world. So there's kind of an interesting little interview with them, done by Jill Etoro. So check that out. U.S. military tightens base access for South Koreans and Japanese. Why would that be? Not really sure. This is going to be great, I can tell. I didn't read too much into it, but I will here in a second. It's about China. The Chinese are killing me today. U.S. tightens military base access. U.S. military has ordered extra scrutiny for South Koreans who want to visit friends or attend events on American bases in Japan. U.S. Forces Japan recently added the longtime American ally to a list of nations whose citizens must undergo additional screening before they can be escorted onto installations. The U.S. Forces Japan did not provide a reason for the new checks of South Koreans. Interesting. Well, you don't have to be a genius to figure that one out, right? Next headline. I think this is what, number four or five. Beijing defends warship confrontation in the South China Sea. Hey, look at recent developments in the South China Sea where China is pitted against smaller neighbors in multiple disputes over island coral reefs and lagoons in waters crucial for global commerce and rich in fish and potential oil and gas reserves. Right? China's ambassador to the United States has defended the Chinese Navy's actions in close encounters with U.S. guided missile destroyers in the South China Sea, saying American warships are on the offensive near Chinese territory. The U.S. Pacific Fleet said the Chinese destroyer came aggressively close to U.S. Navy ship in the incident late last month, forcing it to maneuver to prevent a collision. Ambassador Qu Tingkai said on Fox News on Sunday that the confrontation took place on China's doorstep. It's not Chinese warships that are going off the coast of California or to the Gulf of Mexico. It's so close to the Chinese islands and so close to the Chinese coast, so who is on the offensive? Who is on the defensive? It is very clear. Right. So you have that. Down is now up. Microsoft Amazon CEO stands by defense work after Google bails on JEDI. Leaders of two contenders for the Pentagon's JEDI cloud contract sounded off on Google's decision not to bid. So Google opted out. So Google opted out of working with the American Department of Defense, some of it for purposes of values, but they're in bed with the Chinese. So form your opinion on Google based on that. Right. Google announced its decision on October 8th in a statement that cited ethical concerns and uncertainty whether it could meet the Pentagon's security requirements for JEDI. In June, the company opted not to renew the artificial intelligence-based contract called Project Maven it held with the Pentagon after its employees voiced opposition to performing work that could be used for lethal purposes. How about that? But go ahead and get in bed with the Chinese to help enslave, right? 1.5 billion people. Not a problem. Microsoft bid anyway. Amazon Web Service also bid on the contract. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, I think that's how you say the name, shed more light on the company's thinking as it relates to Google's decision and other potential controversial government work. In previously unreported remarks from an October 10th appearance at the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, quote, "We're an American company and a multinational company. We fundamentally rely on the trust in American values. We fundamentally rely on our form of government to engender trust in everything that we do, not just in the United States, but across the world." And that was in response to a question from a Navy midshipman. "We will have our own committee that will really direct us in terms of what engagements we do or don't do, and especially when it comes to the United States and liberal democracies at large. We will rely on our democratic process and the institutions that we work with and their own ethics as well." Nadella said Microsoft has a four-decade-old partnership with the Defense Department and added that the United States Armed Forces have a fundamental grounding on what it means to deploy any technology or practice that is ethically used. Now, here's what is stupid about all of this, right? The reason that the United States will never give up the advantages that it enjoys technologically is that we enforce intellectual property in this country. We are the leader in copyright enforcement around the world, right? As opposed to the Chinese, who one of their thriving industries is ripping off technology, and they enforce none of it. That's how hypocritical Google is. Yeah, we don't want to help you. We will help the Chinese, but where will Google run when their copyrights are infringed upon? Where will Google run when their intellectual property is being stolen? I'll tell you where they run. They run to the United States. So anyway, interesting stuff. Secretary Mattis made some comments about China, which are kind of interesting. We'll do that. We'll take a break, and then we'll get Tim Lynch on. Quote, here's the headline of the story, and this is from Bloomberg. The U.S. obviously doesn't want to contain China, Mattis said. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis played down tensions with Beijing, saying the U.S. was not out to contain China and was cooperating whenever possible, but there would be times that we would step on each other's toes. Obviously, we're not out to contain China. We'd have taken an altogether different stance had that been considered. It has not been considered, he told reporters on an airplane en route to Vietnam. We seek a relationship with China that's grounded in fairness, reciprocity, and respect for sovereignty, he said. He went on, so we're two large powers or two Pacific powers, two economic powers. We're going to be at times we step on each other's toes. So we're going to have to find a way to productively manage our relationships. Interesting. See what I mean? He's good, man. The word contain is used when you look at our series of allies that from the north, starting in Korea to Japan to Taiwan to the Philippines to Vietnam to Australia, essentially contain China. So that's where all of that comes from. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Tim Lynch going to join us in hour two, and we'll talk about current events. So a little bit of a fluid day here on All Marine Radio. Don't touch that dial. Tim Lynch, always an interesting guy. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with